Good morning, listeners, and welcome to Anglicare On Air on Friday, the 27th of July, 2012. I'm Jenny Barrett, I'm Director of Communications, and our regular listeners would have become quite familiar with my voice because I've been standing in a bit for Dr. Lynn Arnold. And if you were listening last month to June's program, you would have heard Dr. Arnold's farewell because he's moved on to theological studies. So we're going to miss him greatly here at Anglicare. We don't have our new CE yet, but I hope on the next show in August we'll be able to announce who that is. And down the track we'll probably get that person in for an interview and we'll see what their vision is for Anglicare for the future. Now, this morning, it's well into the new financial year. People are doing their tax returns, probably hoping for a bit of a bonus. I know I am. So we're going to talk financial matters today, and my guest is an experienced PBA guest. She's been in here before, and that's Cherry Pryor. Welcome to you, Cherry.
Thanks, Jenny.
Cherry is the Training and Development Coordinator for Financial Wellbeing, and she's based out here at Salisbury, just down the road from the studio. And Cherry and her team provide all sorts of financial counselling and management programs to people in the northern suburbs. Now, it's very timely because as of the 1st of July, the federal government introduced a new form of income management out here in the city of Playford, and it applies to certain people that are on Centrelink benefits. We're not going to go into all the details of income management because that's not our program. That belongs to the federal government. But what we are going to talk about this morning is a whole range of programs under our financial management which can help people either on Centrelink benefits or on low incomes or who might be struggling a bit to pay bills. And there's quite a wide variety of things that Anglicare can do to help you. So we're going to start off, Cherry. One of the main things that we provide to people is financial counselling.
Yes, we do.
Now, it's not financial advice. We need to be very clear about that. We're not financial planners or financial advisors.
That's right.
Our job is to educate people, to inform them, to support them, and to advocate for them if they're in difficult circumstances.
That's right.
Okay, so if I engage a financial counsellor from Anglicare to help me pay, maybe I'm struggling to pay my bills, what sort of practical things can you do for me?
Look, one of the first things that we need to remember is that financial counselling is free.
Oh, that's good.
And if anybody's trying to charge you for it, well, then they're probably not a financial counsellor.
Oh, is that right?
So that's one of the most important things to remember.
Okay.
But our financial counsellors will look at whatever your financial position is. If you're struggling to pay bills, well then bring your bills in, go through the bills, work out what needs to happen, do a budget, a really good, clear budget, so that you know exactly what money you've got coming in and what you need to pay out every week, fortnight, month, however you receive your money.
Is it the case you find, Cherry, that a lot of people don't actually have a budget? They just go payday to payday?
Exactly right. The amount of people who don't or are afraid to. And I think that's one of the things that we often find. People are scared to actually sit down and write on paper what they have coming in and what they're paying out because they're afraid it's not going to work out.
And I guess the simple equation is that you should have more coming in than you have going out.
Well, that's right.
But that doesn't always work.
It doesn't always work out. And oftentimes we find that we're juggling money around to pay the immediate stuff that's putting pressure on us and leaving the other stuff till a later date. But, of course, it never catches up. So that's where the problems start to...
And that's where the financial counsellors can help.
That's where financial counsellors can help.
So what people really need to do is work out how much they're spending weekly or fortnightly on the things that they must have, the things
they
can't go without.
Exactly.
Such as?
Well, the most important thing is probably your rent. And, I mean, we all know that we've got to pay our rent or our mortgage or we're not going to have anywhere to live.
Yes.
And then the next thing would be our utilities, our gas, electricity, water, telephone, those things that we use and we expect to be able to go home at night and turn the light on and it'll come on. Then we also need to look at what our other priorities might be.
Surely food's got to be right up there.
Food is right up there. Food is right up there. But then things like education. And transport. How are you going to get to work or to school or to wherever it is that you need to go?
So bus tickets,
fuel for the car. Those sort of things are the most important things that we need to have in our budget all the time. Then we can start to think about what other things we might want to add to it. But they're the most important things we need to always have there on top of the list.
And if you get that, like a lot of people are getting those really big gas or electricity bills in that seem overwhelming, you don't have to pay it all at once,
no,
do you?
No, not at all.
So how do you work around that when someone gets a $400 or $500 electricity bill?
You can ring up immediately. The first thing, point of call, is to give them a call and let them know that you're not going to be able to make that payment and work out a payment arrangement.
And the utilities providers are pretty good about that?
They're wonderful at that. Good. Wonderful.
But I think your clients find sometimes that it's difficult for them to do that, to actually ring up and say, I can't pay this.
Absolutely, and that's where a financial counsellor can come in and support them to make those calls.
And can actually make the calls for
them? Can actually make the calls on their behalf. Yep.
So
with
you're not
the client's permission, of course.
Of course, yeah. So you're advocating for the client. You're stepping in as the third partner, the third person to say, look, this person's got some financial problems. Let's work out a way that we can pay it.
That's right.
And it's obviously in the utility provider's best interest to get their bill
absolutely
paid.
And they'll work, they do come do some really good payment arrangements.
Now, I've heard some stories of clients that have just got so overwhelmed by their bills that they've literally tucked them in the drawer and tried to ignore them. What do you say to people that do that?
Bring them in. Doesn't matter if you even haven't opened the envelope. It's okay. We can help you open the envelope and sit down and work out with you what we need to do and how we can help them to move through this stage in their life.
And once you get on top of some of those debts and start to have a plan where you can pay things on a regular basis, life does become a lot easier.
Oh, amazingly easier. Can I just tell you a little story?
Please.
When I first started doing financial counselling, I realised that a lot of Centrelink recipients can actually do Centre Pay.
Oh, what's that? Tell us about Centre Pay.
Centre Pay is they can elect to pay a certain amount of money per fortnight when their pay comes in, to make sure that their bills are always covered. So I decided that that was just such a good idea that I worked out how much I needed to put aside each fortnight to make sure all my bills were covered.
Mm.
And
so
I set it up via...
You counselled yourself.
I set it up via BPAY on with my online banking,
mm-hmm.
and every time I get paid, those payments are all automatically made.
So you've automatically got money coming out of your account to pay those
to pay those regular bills, and I pay them all the time. The only thing you can't do that with is your car registration.
Mm.
You can do it with everything, council rates, insurance, you name it, you can pay fortnightly.
So you could allocate, say, $20 a fortnight to your council rates, which might be $180 for a quarter, but if you're paying $20 every payday, you don't miss it.
You don't see it. And when the bills come in, they're either in credit or you only owe a few dollars. So there's no drama every time the bill comes in about being scared to open it because you're excited about opening it because you want to see how much you're in credit or, you know, what few dollars you've got to pay out. And it takes away, it smooths your whole life and takes away all that distress about bills arriving.
So you're listening to Anglicare On Air with PBA FM. I'm Jenny Barrett and I'm talking to financial counsellor Cherry Pryor about ways to make budgeting a bit easier. Now, CentrePay, is that only accessible to people that are on Centrelink payments?
Unfortunately, yes it is.
Ah, so if you're a working girl like me and probably still don't manage your money very well, I can't actually use CentrePay, but there are other ways that I can budget. I should sit down and have an actual budget of what's coming in, what's going out, and then the extras that I need. And that shouldn't be a scary thing, should it?
Look, it shouldn't be, but I mean, I know for a lot of people that it actually is the first time you do it because you're actually seeing in black and white, written in front of you, how much money you're actually spending, and that can be quite a traumatic experience.
So take us through, Cherry, what are the basics of how you create a budget? What are the basic things that you need to know and that you can help a client with? Obviously, you need to know how much money you've got.
Yeah, the first thing you need to do is to work out how much money you've got coming in. And that may not be from one source. You may have a part-time job. You may have money coming in from different sources. So sit down and write all those down. And that's your income. So that's all the money that you've got coming in. Then you sit down and you work out, well, how much your last bill was. Say, for instance, what your last electricity bill might have been, you know, an amount, whatever the amount is, and then you just divide that by six because that comes in every 3 months,
mm-hmm.
which is quite easy, and that gives you then a fortnightly number,
mm-hmm.
and you know that you need to be putting aside that much money each fortnight for you to be able to pay the next bill.
And it's a lot easier. It must be a lot easier for people, especially on low incomes, to pay small amounts every fortnight than every 3 months have to pay a huge amount. I mean,
exactly.
That just makes common sense.
Exactly.
And you can help people with that? You can sort out all the expenses they might have so they don't miss anything?
Absolutely. And then if we find that they're actually in debt with some of their bills, the way that we work it out is you need to be paying X amount of dollars because that is what your usage is. Then if you've got a debt, at the end of when we've worked out all the other things you need to pay out, we can then work out how much extra you can actually afford to pay on that to clear the debt.
Because once you're in debt, it's difficult to get out if you keep putting things off, isn't it? And then it's a never-ending cycle of, I can't afford it, I can't afford it.
That's right.
And it can affect family relationships, depression, mental health. There are lots of repercussions to
so many things.
You wake up every morning thinking, how am I going to afford this?
Exactly.
And it's a situation that you don't need to be in, because we at Anglicare can help you with your financial counselling. There are a number of ways we can help you. And we're going to talk after the break, after the music break, with Cherry a little bit more about financial management, the sorts of things you can do perhaps to get out of debt or stay out of debt, and some really simple tips on how to save money. We'll talk about how to save money on electricity and gas. And get your pen and paper ready, listeners, to Anglicare On Air, because we've got some really good tips for you here. And if you put these, if you apply these in your home, you will find some real savings. So let's face it, everybody likes to save money to spend on things other than bills. We're at Anglicare On Air on PBAFM. We're going to take a music break now. One of my favourite artists, Pink, and this is Don't Let Me Get Me.
Never win first place. I don't support the team. I can't take direction, and my socks are never clean. Teachers dated me. My parents hated me. I was always in a fight, 'cause I can't do nothing right. Every day I fight a war against a mirror.
Welcome back to Anglicare On Air on PBAFM. I'm Jenny Barrett, Director of Communications. Today we're talking about financial management, and my guest is Cherry Pryor. Welcome back, Cherry.
Thank you.
And that was Pink, Don't Let Me Get Me, one of my favourite artists. I've really taken to Pink in the last 12 months or so. Bopping along in the car with her singing her lungs out. You wouldn't think so, but she's one of my favourites. Now, Cherry, we talked just before the music break about how to save money on energy bills, because increasingly we are hearing people saying, can't afford the gas, can't afford the electricity. front page of the paper every week, prices are going up, although I was very pleased to hear today that there's going to be some slowdown on water prices. There's going to be, a three-year break on that, which will help people. But overwhelmingly, our clients are saying it's the utility prices, the energy bills that are really hitting me hard. It's winter, it's cold, people need to eat hot food, they need to stay warm. But there are some really simple tips, aren't there, on the ways that you can save energy around the home.
Sure.
Now, you've got a list here of 12 energy-saving tips, so we're going to spend the next few minutes going through those. Readers, get your pen and paper ready. If you want to know how to save money around the house, here's tip number one, adjusting your thermostat.
Your thermostat on your air conditioner. Just for every 1 degree higher that you have it for heating, or 1 degree lower, can add 10% to the running costs.
So when you're going home tonight to heat up the cold house, you've got the gas heater or whatever, and you can set the temperature. What's an ideal temperature during winter to set it for?
Well, look, it depends, and everybody's different. I wouldn't have it above 21, but that's just me personally. Usually around about 24, 23 is plenty.
And in summer, when it's not a heatwave conditions, but hot enough to have the air conditioner on?
Again, about 25. Mm. Doesn't need to be any higher than that.
25?
Yeah.
Okay. And apart from actually adjusting the thermostat, tip number two, you can reduce the area that you're actually heating or cooling. It sounds so simple. Can you explain that?
Yeah, just close some doors. Don't leave all the doors, like, to different rooms. Mm. And just heat or cool the area that you're in.
Like the living area.
The living area. Mm-hmm. And close off the hallways, because you don't really need to heat those or cool them.
It makes a lot of sense. It's so simple, but people don't always think about that.
No.
There's one other tip that's not on your 12 tips that I'm just going to add as 2B, and that is, if it is really cold, apart from putting your heater on, how about just wearing some warmer clothes?
Wear some warmer clothes. If you've got blinds or curtains, close the blinds and curtains, because that's going to keep the heat in. And then use those old-fashioned snake things.
Oh, yes, the door stoppers.
The door stoppers in front of the door to stop the drafts from coming in.
And it all adds up.
It all adds up.
And you can actually save up to 10% on your running costs.
That's right.
Well, that's a big bonus, listeners. Anglicare clients, customers, save money. Here's tip number three. Now, you say here, tip number three is make the most of free heating and cooling. Is there such a thing?
Yes, there is. The sun.
Of course.
And in wintertime, during the day, when the sun's out...
Not so much this week,
not
Sherry.
So much this week, but when the sun is out, use the warmth of the sun to come in through the windows, which will actually heat your room.
Mm-hmm.
I've just said close them when you've got your heaters on, but while the sun's out, it's a great source of energy to help heat your house.
Natural form of cooling.
That's right.
But it can be our enemy in summer. What can we do in summer?
It can, but open windows a little bit. If it's got the really hot, dry winds, you've got to and then you close everything up, and again, your blinds, your curtains, close it all up, and so that you're cooling just inside the house.
Yes.
But if there's a nice breeze, take advantage of it. Open a few windows and let the natural cool air come in.
And I'm going to add another little tip. See, I think there's more than 12. I'm going to add another one. This is 3B. Install ceiling fans.
Absolutely.
Because I know every house I've ever lived in, I've made sure there's a ceiling fan at least in the bedroom, because even on the hottest of days or nights...
That's right.
At 2 or 3 in the morning, even if it's still 20 degrees, if you have a little bit of air coming in and a ceiling fan circulating it, I find it much easier to sleep than leaving the air conditioning on or not.
Absolutely. It circulates the air around the room and it makes it much more comfortable.
Yes. You're listening to Anglicare On Air on PBAFM. I'm Jenny Barrett. We're talking to Cherry Pryor about ways of financial management and specifically how to save money on energy bills. And we're going through our list of 12 points, although I have added a couple here and there. Number 4. This sounds interesting. Take shorter showers.
Yeah.
How will that save money?
Well, because you're using hot water while you're in the shower, so the hot water that you're using is costing you money.
There's really no need to be in the shower more than 3 to 5 minutes, is there?
That's right.
Even ladies, if you're washing your hair and putting a conditioner through it, you can still do it fairly quickly.
Exactly.
If you're standing there letting the hot water run over you, just think about the dollars and cents that are going down the drain. And while we're on showers, tip number 5, how can you make your shower more efficient?
Well, you can install energy-efficient shower heads so that the water pressure comes through smaller holes. I think it is. That's how it works. And it's...
So you're still getting a good output of water,
but you're not wasting it. Yes.
And is that something Anglicare does, or is there somewhere, some website we can go to for information on
that? Yes, you can go to a website, www.sagov.au www.wisewater.com.au/water will give you a whole bunch of WaterWise tips.
So we'll just repeat that website, listeners, if you want some WaterWise tips, because water bills can be a killer. www.sa.gov, that's gov.au/, I can never remember if it's / or / I think that's a / water. Now, tip number 6, we're halfway through. Know how much your appliances cost to run. Cherry.
Look, some appliances absolutely chew up energy. Now, my father was an electrician and he always told me everything that has an element in it will cost more to run.
Like a bar heater?
Like the old-fashioned bar radiator heaters will cost more than maybe the more modern oil-filled heaters,
yes,
the ones that go around.
Mm-hmm.
It costs more if your stove has an element on it. It costs more. Everything that's got an element will cost more.
So when listeners are buying appliances,
that's right,
what should they be looking for?
So you need to look for something that, first of all, is the most energy efficient. And these days they have star ratings on them to tell you.
Yes.
But also looking for something that, if preferably, doesn't have an exposed element.
Okay. So the old bar heater, like the one I've got in my bathroom, which I turn mm-hmm. on these cold mornings, is probably not the most cost-efficient way of heating a small room.
No, it's not.
I should be installing one of those ceiling heaters
to have
lights.
And that's right.
I'll put that on my list of home renovations, I think, okay, because I do like that little bar heater in that small bathroom in the mornings. So just going a little bit off track, what about electric blankets? Are they cost-effective? Because, again, I don't like getting into cold sheets.
No, but once you get into bed, you can turn the electric blanket off.
Oh, I do. But are there other ways you could heat the bed without using electricity?
A wheat bag.
Oh, well, that's a clever idea.
In a microwave.
Or an old-fashioned hot water bottle.
Or an old-fashioned hot water bottle.
Just boil the kettle and fill up your old plastic granny bottle and put that in the bed.
I've got a wheat bag.
Yeah, well, I'm still kind of like my electric blanket. But I also have a little dog. She helps to warm the bed a little bit too. So there you go, listeners. There's a tip for absolute free heating. Let your pet sleep on the bed. Now, tip number 7 from Anglicare is wash clothes in cold water. Now, I have to tell you, Cherry, I used to think washing clothes in cold water was just not clean, not healthy, wouldn't get my clothes clean, didn't like the idea at all, but I have been converted. Tell us why it's a good way of saving money.
Look, you're not using hot water, for a start. But the new, the modern detergents these days are all made to be used in cold water.
Yes, I have been converted to a cold water detergent.
And there's really no need to be using up your precious energy resources by washing clothes in hot water.
Now, I did think of a way of saving water when I did the washing, was to divert the tube where the water
yep.
rushes out to the garden. But I'm told that that's really not very good because all the soap suds and the fabric softeners and stuff going out onto your lawn is not very healthy. Is that
well,
true?
It depends on the type of soap powders and stuff that you're using. And if you buy the ones that are biodegradable and not going to damage your yard, that's an excellent way to save water.
All right, well, I might look at doing that in summer. You're listening to Anglicare on Air. I'm Jenny Barrett. We're talking with Cherry Pryor about saving money on energy bills, and everybody wants to know how to save money. Tip number 8 of our Dirty Dozen, and we'll speed this up because we're running out of time. Check the fridge and freezer temperatures.
Yep, there's no reason why your fridge should be any more than 5 degrees.
And the freezer?
And the freezer, between 15 and 18.
And do you adjust that during winter and summer? In summer, you've got a lot more things you want to keep cool?
I don't ever move mine. I leave it on the same all the time.
Okay. So don't super cool the fridge?
So it doesn't need to be freezing cold.
And second fridges and freezers, they're big users of money.
They are. If you've got, you know, the second fridge in the shed for the drinks.
But, Cherry, that's the drinks fridge. That's really important for a lot of people.
Yeah, but it's not important to be on all the time.
That makes sense. Just turn it on weekends.
Turn it on when you know that you've got people coming over and you want to serve them drinks.
There you go, listeners. Think about that second bar fridge or the mini freezer. Turning off lights. This is a really simple one.
Yep. Every time you leave a room, turn the lights off.
Now, I have to ask, is this an urban myth that with fluorescent lights, turning them on and off actually uses up more energy than leaving them running? Is that true or not?
Oh, look, some types of lights, that is true. But, you know, mostly the lights that are these days, they're designed to be turned on and off because we've got to save
money, we've got to save the planet.
Money, we've got to save. Yep.
Okay, tip number 11, use the microwave instead of the oven.
Microwaves are great. It may not brown your food quite the same way, but, you know, put a bit more stuff on it to make it look brown.
Mm-hmm.
They're the most efficient way to cook.
What about slow cookers? They're very popular in winter. Now, they're on for 8 hours or so. Is that efficient?
And they've got an element.
Oh, so they're not very I thought slow cookers was a great way of cooking, but maybe not for saving money. Now, this is one I always find. Look, you look around your house, you've got so many digital and electrical appliances, and if you turn them all off, I'd be resetting clocks all day. But you're saying tip number 12 for saving money, switch off appliances rather than leaving them on standby.
Turn them off. And the really...
At the wall?
At the wall. And you can buy little devices these days that you just... So you're not crawling around on your hands and knees turning off PowerPoints behind appliances. You can buy a little device where you just press the button and it turns it all off.
And are they expensive to buy?
No.
What would someone look for if they wanted to buy one of those? What do you call those? Power saving device?
Yeah, power saver. But a lot of the PowerPoint
boards
mm-hmm. that you buy these days have actually got a device on it that you can turn it off.
All right, listeners, Anglicare on Air, our time has just flown past this morning because we were talking about saving money, which you wouldn't think would be a topic that could take up 30 minutes, but it certainly has. Cherry, thank you for coming in. Listeners, if you're struggling with your power bill, if you're struggling to put food on the table, if you're just finding that paying bills is a chore that is troubling you, come and contact us at Anglicare. We have financial counsellors that are absolutely free. We can help you set a budget, plan for the future, deal with unexpected bills and expenses, work out how to make your money spread each fortnight so you're not living from pay packet to pay packet. Sure, it's tough out there for a lot of people, but there are ways you can make it easier. And at Anglicare, we can help you to make it easier. So, Cherry, what's the best way for someone to contact us if they want some financial counselling? Perhaps get on our website?
Get onto the website. We have financial counsellors.
Okay, so have a look at the Anglicare website, listeners, www.hopesa.org.au. Search for financial counsellors or financial assistance and you will find contact numbers and ways that we can help you. And down the track we'll get these 12 tips for saving money up on the website perhaps, so readers can go back and have a look at those. Just think about the day-to-day things you do and, you know, taking shorter showers, turning appliances off, making things not quite as hot or not quite as cool, and just think about how to save money. And another tip, not so much an Anglicare one, but have a look at your electricity provider and try someone else. See if you can get a more competitive rate. There are all sorts of ways you can save money, and at Anglicare will help you to do that. Now, we've used up most of our time this morning, Cherry. We're going to go out with a song. Thank you to the lovely Denise for operating the board for us this morning. We'll be back with Anglicare on Air on Friday, the 24th of August, and we're going to have a really interesting topic to talk about that day. I'll be hosting again, but we'll let you know closer to the time what that is. Thanks for listening to Anglicare on Air. We're going out with a song by Michael Jackson. No, we're going Michael Ball. Love changes everything. See you, listeners.
Love changes everything. How you live and how you die. Love can make the summer fly or a night seem like a lifetime. Yes, love changes everything. Now I tremble at your name. Nothing in the world will ever be the same. Love changes everything. Days are longer, words mean more. Love changes everything. Pain is deeper than before. Love will turn your world around.